Now, you notice the way we are enabled to understand that passage in Psalm 66, we begin to recognize that there is a lifestyle of sinning, even though this person was in covenant relationship with God. A lifestyle of sinning that had to do with the pleasure that they received from sinning. You could even say that they treasured their sin, because he said, if I had cherished sin in my heart, and that which we cherish in our hearts, we pursue. Doesn't matter whether it's promiscuity. We enjoy being with people, I won't say having sexual intercourse with anyone and everyone we can, because I really don't think that there are many people, if any, who truly, truly, truly have sex with anyone and everyone they can. Although there are probably quite a few people who do have sexual intercourse with quite a few people. But I'm pretty sure that even for people who are promiscuous, there are quite a few opportunities for sex that they passed on. Simply because they just wanted to pass on it. They just, it wasn't because of moral standing or anything like that. They just, at that time and at another time in another instance, just didn't want to have sex. So the opportunity was there, but their desire was not. So they passed on it. Sometimes they may have had a desire and still, for one reason or another, passed on the opportunity. So I really don't think that there are many, if any, people who truly have sex anytime and every time they can, with anyone and everyone they can. But that doesn't mean that they don't cherish fornication in their hearts. There are married people who cherish adultery in their hearts. And it is much more important to them to enjoy sex outside of marriage than to enjoy sex within the marriage context. On the other hand, you have people who are married and the only way they're going to have sex is with their partner. But I'm just focusing on cherishing sin in the heart so that we truly grasp what's being conveyed to us. There are people who truly cherish lying and slandering. And so they lie. And they slander again and again and again because they cherish these sins. And of course, people are also cherishing whatever level of satisfaction they get out of committing these sins. It's not just the sin. That's why I mentioned the P word a little earlier. Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. And what we cherish, we get pleasure out of. What we cherish, we tend to pursue. And if we pursue it often enough, it becomes lifestyle. And God is looking at that lifestyle of every individual, including when it comes to how he responds when we pray to him. Remember, God said through a number of prophets, including Jeremiah, that because when the people were in sin, when they were in rebellion, and he kept calling to them, and they would not listen, he would send prophet after prophet to them to urge them, return to the Lord. They wouldn't listen. He would send prophet after prophet, time and time again, to warn them, if you don't return, I'm going to punish you. And they would tune God out. And God would let them know, when I called to you, you wouldn't listen. So now, when you call to me, I'm not going to listen to you. But listen to this. 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And when he has forgiven us and purified us, even though we may have been tuning him out for a while, he can get to the point where he's ready again to listen. And I'll talk about that some more a little bit later. But for now, let's take a look at this. John chapter 9, verse 31. This will be one of the scriptures, just one of a number of scriptures that we can read that conveys that God will get to a point where he's ready to stop listening. John chapter 9, and let's begin at verse 30. I said 31. Let's go ahead and begin at verse 30. The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. There was a man who had been born blind. Jesus' disciples wanted to know, who sinned, this man or his parents? And there was a belief amongst the Hebrews, the Israelites, that if parents sinned, their children, including their unborn children, could possibly have to pay the price for the parents' sin. So they asked, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus let them know, this has nothing to do with sin. This has everything to do with God being glorified. And he healed the man who had been born blind, so he was no longer blind. He could see perfectly. The Pharisees, some of the religious leaders, wanted to know who had healed the man. And they wanted that man to discredit Jesus, the very one who had healed him. He wouldn't do it. And he came to Jesus' defense and he said, "We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will." God does not listen to sinners. This is one of the numbers of verses that people can read and conclude, wow, okay, so God never listens to sinners when they pray to him. But can we take that principle, this one verse, and make that a doctrine? Back in a few.